ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 36, Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I'll just read part of the purport, otherwise there won't be any time for class, for any commentary on it, because the purport is more than 10 pages long. Etavad eva jignasyam.
Etavad eva jignasyam.
Tatva jignasunatmanaha.
Tatva jignasunatmanaha.
Anvaya vyatirekabhyam.
Anvaya vyatirekabhyam.
Yat syat sarvatra sarvada.
Yat syat sarvatra sarvada.
Translation. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this. Yeah, that's mostism. It should be must. Must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Continuing with the purport. The revealed scriptures give directions directly to this end. But because the bewildered living entities are blinded by the glaring reflection in the darkness, they are unable to find the truth of the revealed scriptures. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole direction is targeted toward the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. But for want of a bona fide spiritual master in the line of Brahmaji or the direct hearer, Arjuna, there are different distortions of the revealed knowledge by many unauthorized persons who just want to satisfy their own whims. Undoubtedly, the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as one of the most brilliant stars in the horizon of the spiritual sky. Yet the interpretations of this great book of knowledge have so grossly been distorted that every student of the Bhagavad Gita is still in the same darkness of glaring material reflections. Such students are hardly enlightened by the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, practically the same instruction is imparted as in the four prime verses of the Bhagavatam, but due to wrong and fashionable interpretations by unauthorized persons, one cannot reach the ultimate conclusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings as Paramatma, and He is controlling all of them in the material world under the agency of His external energy. Therefore, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is the supreme controller and that the living entities are controlled by the Lord. In the same Bhagavad Gita, the Lord directs as follows. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyante pratijane priyosime. It is clear from this verse of the Bhagavad Gita that the direction of the Lord is that one should be God-minded, a devotee of the Lord, a worshipper of the Lord, and must offer all obeisances unto Lord Krishna. By so doing, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back to home. Etavad eva jignasyam tat vijignasunatmanaha. Anvya vyatirekabhyam yat syat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. This is concluding the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad, the four verses that comprise the essence of the Bhagavatam that were spoken by the Supreme Lord Narayana to Brahma Actually, there are six verses, but four of them are taken as the most important. The conclusion here is that, having understood that there is tattva, the ultimate tattva, the ultimate phenomenon, tattva, I suppose we could translate, it means that-ness, but there's no such word in English as that-ness. The quality of being that. Tat means that, and tva means it puts the suffix tva, puts any word, it takes that word and makes it into a category. It's just like we have the term Vaishnava. Vaishnav means devotee of Lord Vishnu, and Vaishnavatva means the state of being a devotee of Lord Vishnu, Vaishnav Dharma. So that-ness, it's the state of being that. So we could put an English word, phenomenon. What is the ultimate tattva? Up to etavat, up to this point, up to this tattva, there are so many phenomena. There are unlimited tattva. Everything has its own tattva. Vishnu tattva is defined by, what is Vishnu tattva? There is Vishnu, also within the category of Vishnu, Lord Krishna also is Vishnu tattva. Krishna, Rama, Narsingha, Varaha, Vamanadeva, they're all Vishnu tattva. They all possess the quality of being Vishnu. So tattva in this sense is synonymous with dharma, in the sense of dharma meaning the intrinsic quality of any object or being. So there are many phenomena, but prior to this, Lord Vishnu has described that tattva which exists before all other phenomena in this world. And what is that tattva? Aham, ahameva asameva agri, which exists before this material world was manifested, during its manifestation, and after its manifestation. He himself is transcendent to all the mundane phenomena, and it is this tattva, it is this supreme tattva, absolute truth, who is to be searched out by those who are jignyasuna. This material world was manifested during its manifestation and after its manifestation. He himself is transcendent to all the mundane phenomena, and it is this tattva, it is this supreme tattva, absolute truth, who is to be searched out by those who are jignyasunatmanaha, those who are students of the self, students. Here the self, in the word for word rendition, atmanaha is translated as of the self, and self is written with a capital S, indicating that the Supreme Self. Students of the Supreme, those who are desirous to understand what is Supreme, they should search up to this point. Because the tattva, the absolute truth that is differently perceived or wrongly perceived by those who are covered by the blinding, who are blinded by the glaring reflection of the material energy. They see the ultimate tattva as being this material world only. But those who are tattva vidaha, those who know what is actually tattva, they recognize this supreme tattva, on which is the absolute truth, on which all other tattvas, all other phenomena are dependent. They recognize it as vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdam, bhagavan iti shabdam. That the absolute truth, although one, advaya, is perceived in three phases, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But here, Lord Narayan is telling that one should search out the supreme tattva up to this point. Don't get stuck on Brahman or Paramatma. Come up to this point. And how to find out? By tattva jignasa. By inquiry into the nature of that this phenomenon. In other words, one who is jignasunatmanaha, one who is serious to understand the supreme. Atmanaha can mean of the self, it can mean of the individual living being. But here it's presented by Srila Prabhupada as meaning the supreme living being. So one should not get stuck in philosophical inquiry on some interim point. Of course, Brahman is also supreme. Impersonal Brahman is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But different and non-different is in understanding tattva. There are nine basic points to be understood from Shastra and from the great acharyas. Amnaya, amnaya praha tattvam. The Shastra, as presented by the great acharyas, they declare what is tattva and what is the understanding of the absolute truth. So one of the points there is achintya bheda bhedam iha sakalam. Everything is to be understood in terms of their mutual relationships being different and non-different. How to fully understand this, one has to accept the principle of achintya. The principle that we can't, these matters are not to be fully understood by brain power. But they can be understood when we stop trying to exercise our brain power and rely on revelation. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. That when one gives up the endeavor to understand everything simply by one's brain power, understand it's not possible for me to understand everything by my brain power, and simply become humble. Janati, that related verse, and how to understand about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atapite deva padambuja dvayam prasadale shanugrihita evahi janati tattvam. Again the word tattvam comes. Janati tattvam bhagavam mahimno nachanya ekopi chirang vachinva. That one who is blessed with even a slight trace of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand the phenomena about Him and understand His glories. Otherwise it's not possible by one's own brain power, even in many, many lifetimes. So this is being delineated, that one, if you have information of this, then we should certainly search after that. How? Anvaya vyatirekabhyam. In this context, Anvya Vyati Reikabhya means directly and indirectly. The part of the purport that we read today, Srila Prabhupada is elaborating on what it means to search after this tattva, this supreme phenomenon, directly. That means through the Vedic literatures, which directly describe the supreme absolute truth. Of course, much of the Vedic literature appears not to. It may be difficult to find the Supreme Lord in the Vedic literature. All the Vedic literatures, they're simply meant for understanding this tattva, this phenomenon, the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. Sarve Veda Yat Padam Amananti. He who is the subject of all the Vedas, that is the subject matter. But mostly the Vedas don't directly speak of the personality of Godhead. Vedeshu Durlabham. Although Lord Krishna says, Vedeshu Sarver Ahameva Vedyaha, I am the object of knowledge in the Vedas, which are only meant for giving knowledge. But nevertheless, he's difficult to find out in the Vedas. So it seems like a contradiction. He is to be known by the Vedas, but he's difficult to find in the Vedas. So what does that mean? Well, there's a key. The key is required. Again, annaya praha tatvam. That vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. He is difficult to find in the Vedas, but is always manifested to the great devotees. So the great devotees, they guide us in understanding the revealed scriptures. That's why amnaya prahatattvam. Amnaya means the scriptural conclusion as delivered by the great acharyas. Otherwise, if we just take the scriptures, then it seems impossible to understand. Shabdajala maharanyam. It seems like just a big tangled forest of words. But one who knows the path through the forest, knows the goal, he can show us what is the actual point. Otherwise we get lost in the forest of Vedic terms. So this is the direct method to understand the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Bhagavad Gita. To us who have heard Bhagavad Gita explained by Srila Prabhupada, it's just completely obvious that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, what is he teaching? Bhaktyamama vijanati. I can be understood through bhakti. He is the object of study in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaisya sarva ahameva vedyaha. Mataparataram nanyat kinjirasti. There is nothing even slightly superior to he. Then the conclusion, manmana bhava madbhakto, always think of me, become my devotee. It's clear that Bhagavad Gita is meant for understanding Bhagavan, who is Krishna, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. But there are many students of Bhagavad Gita who know the Bhagavad Gita very well, superficially, but only superficially, because they don't find Krishna. Even though they study Bhagavad Gita, they don't accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. They may be very expert in this, Ramsukhdas Maharaj. He trained his disciples so they can recite. Just tell them they'll recite any chapter of the Gita often. And even he tells them, recite the verses backwards, recite chapter 9 backwards. Immediately they'll start. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mangamaskuru mame vaishasi satyante pitijani priyosime. Then what's the one previous to that? That anityam asukam lokam imam prapya vajasvama king puna brahmana punyas bhakta raja shayot tata. Well, that's the problem. That's what the point I'm getting to. He's not a proper Vaishnava. He's all Mayavad mixed up. So even though they can chant, they're fluent in Bhagavad Gita, and even they'll explain it, but they won't come to the same understanding that we come from hearing from Prabhupada, because they have another motive. They don't find Krishna. Even he was much associated with Gita Press, and in Gita Press editions of Bhagavad Gita, they have at the front of the book a very nice picture of Krishna with a quote from the apparent devotee, but actually Mayavadi, Madhusudan Saraswati, that Krishnat param kimapi tattva maham na jane, that I don't know any tattva, any phenomenon superior to Krishna. So he said that, and his commentaries, they're apparently very devotional, but his ultimate conclusion, he's a Mayavadi, he's an Advaitavadi. So they're mixed up. Prabhupada, in commenting about Gita Press, he said they're devotees, but they're mixed up Mayavad also. That tendency is there. So Srila Prabhupada also, this is also controversial. We have to be careful about saying this in North India, but Srila Prabhupada wrote that I didn't see anyone come to the transcendental platform by reading Ramcharitmanas. So Ramcharitmanas is Bhagavad Gita and Ramcharitmanas. Srila Prabhupada said these two books, Gita Press is flourishing on these two only, because they particularly these two books, they've distributed literally millions. Previously only in Hindi, and then they started in English, and now they're doing it in all Indian languages. So the Ramcharitmanas was, it's very popular even today. Previously it was so popular that all over North India, in the Hindi-speaking area, pretty much everyone, the Hindus, they could recite hundreds of verses from it, because they heard it so many times. Apart from those who are trained to recite it, there are others who have heard it so many times, and it has so many day-to-day sayings come from that. So they're all Ram Bhaktas, so it appears, but it's all mixed up with Mayavad. So Prabhupada said that I didn't see that anyone actually came to the transcendent platform. They can't sort out what is worldly goodness or worldly good behavior from transcendent behavior. They can't understand. And therefore they interpret in various ways. The Mayavadis, they have so many strange ways of interpreting. Krishna, he's not immoral, because when he called the gopis before him naked, it actually symbolizes that the soul has to stand naked before God, for instance. It's just a symbolic story, allegorical. Yeah. So in this way, they may be very learned and apparently full of bhakti, but they missed it, actually. And hearing from them is worse than useless. Well, there are some worse than useless in some. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada says that those who never heard Bhagavad Gita, they're better situated to understand it than those who heard it from Mayavadis. On the other hand, it does instill at least some shadow sense of bhakti. That culture is there of bhakti, but it needs a lot of straightening out. There are so many traditions, but it is not necessarily that everything traditional is good. It's all just like in Puri, they have so many traditions, but they follow and they worship Jagannath. But does anyone really understand who, according to tattva gyan, according to philosophical understanding, who Jagannath is? So the traditions are good, but they should hear. People, they should hear from devotees who are tattvavits. But it needs a lot of straightening out. There are so many traditions, but it is not necessarily that everything traditional is good. It's all just like in Puri, they have so many traditions, but they follow and they worship Jagannath. But does anyone really understand according to tattva gyan, according to philosophical understanding, who Jagannath is. So the traditions are good, but they should hear. People, they should hear from devotees who are tattvavits. This word comes in Bhagavad Gita. Tattvavittu mahabahu. Those who actually understand these points. So, Anvaya is directly, and my time is up, and next, what is this directly means from Shastra, and indirectly, vyatireka bhyam, indirectly, vyatireka bhya, or if you put the two words together, Anvaya vyatireka bhyam, indirectly means that one acts, Srila Prabhupada explains in the next section of the purport, that one should act through the Vedic social construction of human society, in other words, the Varnashram system. So directly one should hear Shastra, and indirectly one should act according to the Vedic social construction of human society, that which is given by the Supreme Lord. So, Hare Krishna. That's it. That's all for now from myself, unless you have any questions, which I won't spend much time answering because time and tide wait for no man. Yeah.
Well, in spite of Prabhupada's mission throughout the Western world or beyond India, there seems to be still so much of this Mayavad.
Still seems to be so much of this Mayavad, yeah.
Allegorical, everything is symbolic.
Buddhism has become very popular in the Western world. So-called Buddhism and yoga.
Yeah. They think we're just fanatical, stuck on Krishna, and you know, so you should have a broader vision. Krishna is one of so many, and he actually represents a higher.
Krishna represents something. Kick them in the face. With a yoga posture. I'm going to do a yoga asana now. It's called kicking you in the face. This is bhakti. This is a demonstration of bhakti yoga.
And actually, I've seen, I can't name names, but some of our creatures have compromised.
Ah, you noticed also? Really? That's surprising.
Yeah, so many people are rejecting the straight, pure, as it is, the direct meaning of all the shastra.
So if you can't beat them, join them.
Yes.
Those who don't have faith in Krishna and the Acharyas, they preach indirectly. So kick them in the face too.
But at least don't follow that tendency.
Yeah, it's nonsense. I wrote about 10 years ago or more, I was so fed up of devotees telling me that you shouldn't speak directly, that I wrote an essay with over 132 quotes, mostly from Prabhupada.
With the word direct?
No, saying why we have to speak strongly and straightforwardly.
Yes.
It's in my book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada.
You don't want to cheat people, you have to give them access.
Yeah. Let them, of course, the mode of delivery should be in a manner to enlighten them. But the mode of delivery, often the straight cutting method is the best method. It's, if you don't tell directly, then how are they ever going to know? My book on Bhakti Sthansaswar Thakur will come out soon, and that also, I mean, he wouldn't have, modern ISKCON, they'd reject him, no doubt. They'd never allow him in modern ISKCON, Bhakti Sthansaswar Thakur.
He was too uncompromising.
Too uncompromising means he didn't compromise. He hated compromise.
Serves no purpose.
Yeah, I often wonder if Prabhupada nowadays, if he'd be welcome in ISKCON, or whether they'd send him for what's it called, counseling. Devotee counseling. You're too heavy, you're too fanatical, you're out of touch. All this kind of thing. Beware of devotee counseling. You'll get Freuded and psychoanalyzed and into a Mayavadi.
Yeah.
I give devotee counseling also, tell people surrender to Krishna, but that's not the kind of counseling they want. Excuse me. I mean, I'm sure it's done in all... I mean, counseling is good, that Rupa Goswami says. What is that? Dadati prahigrihnati. That we should reveal our minds. But then there, everything should be according to Shastra. Everything, reply should be according to Shastra. And it's not that... It's also accepted. Here Prabhupada speaks about Varnashram in the upcoming part of the purport. So, Varnashram is a compromise actually. For those who are not fully, ready to surrender to Krishna. But then if we, our compromise should be according to Shastra also. The compromise that will lead us to Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't accept, at least on the philosophical platform. There are two the philosophical platform we should never compromise. But on the practical platform, seeing that we say surrender to Krishna, but practically speaking, many who are, or most if not all who are desirous to reach that platform don't do it in one day, in one moment. So, therefore there is the program of sadhana bhakti, therefore there is varnashram, and we can counsel people to act at their present level and how to aspire for a higher level. So that's there. So there is devotee counseling, you know. I mean, that is there, but the point I'm making is it shouldn't be based on speculative psychology, which, you know, these people are crazy themselves. How are they going to help us? But it can be done according to Vedic psychology, which we need to research and understand. But the psychologists, they have all different ideas themselves. And a lot of time their treatment is just to give some drugs, which doesn't help overall. And another reason people are crazy is because the whole modern society makes them crazy. It's a big discussion. Because the craziness, that means an excess of lust, which turns into frustration. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samabhava. Or that's coming from excess rajoguna, and then from excess tamaguna. This is Vedic psychology. Tamaguna means pramada, that's one of, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says one of the symptoms of tamaguna is pramada, alasya, just inertia, sloth. So these are all symptoms of what we nowadays call mental disease. Lord Krishna classifies it as the lower modes of material nature. Yeah, please.
I'll just illustrate that point. I remember when I was a student at a seminary in the early to mid-60s.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. How many years did you do?
4 years of high school.
In seminary, that means it was aimed at you becoming a priest.
From 14 to 18. I couldn't be brahmacharya at that point.
That was an existential crisis they were going through at that time. Because they just had Vatican II.
Yes.
And everything in the... You were in the Catholic Church.
Yes, that was from the end of 62 to the end of 62.
Yeah, and they were going through redefinement, and they were all becoming modernized, and they compromised.
And they were discussing one point that the Pope and the priest were still trying to, you know, sort of prevent the degradation.
They thought, let us adjust to the modern culture and prevent the degradation, but it could not work. It was not possible.
Western governments were listening to the atheists and also to people saying that individual rights are absolute. In other words, the right of expression, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, including pornography, because pornography came in the door
through art and freedom of speech, pornography. Yeah.
But the church is pulling the other way.
Yeah.
They're saying, no, that doesn't include freedom of speech. That's very polluting and degrading stuff. We want to. And the government finally listened to the atheists because actually the whole psychiatry profession went that way. No, actually, it's not bad. Pornography is not bad.
Masturbation is not bad.
Yeah,
it's good.
Thing,
It's good. It's good. You should have masturbation. Yeah.
So those psychologists are really in ignorance. And
they're very much in ignorance, and the psychology has been, as you say, instrumental in the wholesale degradation of the modern world. Yeah, please. You want to say something? No. All right. I thought your hand was up. It was just out.
So I was also raised to be confident.
That's interesting. Can we? What happened to the mic? Give it to Mother Padilla. I'm supposed to go. I was brought to the Mill Hill Fathers to become trained as a missionary, but my mother was really pushing for it. But my father, he said, "Well, you have to choose," and I chose. And we went there, and I said, my father said, "Do you really want to do this?" I said, "No." I'd already had my religious revelations that these people are not of God.
That's what happened with myself. I could understand it was my parents' religion. It wasn't really my religion or whatever. And I used to ask so many questions that they would say, "You sit down, you know, you have so many questions. You should just have blind faith." I couldn't do it.
No, blind faith is not good. That's why we have these classes. To discuss tattva. What is the philosophical understanding? And the classes also. The classes, we see Srila Prabhupada set the example that the classes should be discussion of tattva, philosophy. Nowadays, is, you know, often the class is just one story from beginning to end, or it's, you know, today we are reading from the Vancouver Times or whatever the local newspaper is. It's from the local newspaper or whatever it is. So should be firmly based on Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Then there's strength. All right, please excuse me. Oh, all right, don't excuse me yet. There's another comment. Oh, please excuse me all the time, but I mean, I have to. Apart from that, I have to leave.
Thank you, Maharaj, for coming. Hope you come back soon. With more time, next time. And Jaime, yesterday your disciple mentioned that in Nepal, so far has been only Hindu state.
It was the last Hindu kingdom.
Wow.
But the king is on the way out because he's a jerk. He's not a good king. Previous king was more or less okay. But the present king is just completely self-motivated, unfortunately.
The
Nepal kings are intimately associated with Jagannath Puri. Manipur, yeah, but that's now, Manipur's a mess. The one place in the world where the king is still loved by the people very much, and he's considered as like God, even though he doesn't have any state power, is in Thailand. Yeah?
Just wanted to also relate to you that in Vancouver we have very big PhD temple and community. We have so many people from Hindu background going there, huge temple, huge community. We have almost about 10 Hindu temples here. And of course they celebrate the Mayavar Sannyasi's birthday, which is coming up, Guru Purnima, with great pomp. So I'm saying that they still so much following in that aspect. So how is it possible that we can attract them to our to personalism? Because
how can we attract impersonalists to personalism? well, what is that? That Atma Rama? Well, they're not Atma Ram. They're materialists. They, if they get enough Sukriti, they can be attracted.
See, in England, they have
accepted. They work on the children. That's what the Christians do. They convert so many people, but they don't. They work on the children. They don't expect in India, they don't really expect many of the Hindus to become